Everyone stand, please. All male citizens, please take off your hats. Let us bow our heads in a prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for thy many blessings. Grant that in our gathering here today, whatever we do will be according to your will, to the benefit of our people, and to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Alaska Land Claims Act started le dai gutsan is it dai gutsan don cha kun zi or kui zu i ke gro sha tan di ke ta to cha yo ya ha den ji de ti ai cho ha ke an ja ta de ti no ha tsa ke ke an ja ta Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to, at this time, at least it's for me, it's an honor to introduce to you Judge Tom Berger. I guess you can take it from there.
Thank you. Well, I hope you can hear me. I'm in Fort Yukon to listen to what you have to say about the land claim settlement. And I'm not here representing the federal government or the state government. I was asked to come here by two international Native peoples organizations, the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an international organization of Indian people from North and South America. So they asked me to come here and to conduct this review of ANCSA, of the Land Claim Settlement. And I've been traveling around Alaska since February to villages to find out what people think about the land claim settlement, what they think about ANCSA. And I've been to 48 villages and towns, and this will be the 49th village we've been to hold a meeting like this. And the idea is to give you a chance to tell me what you think about ANCSA, about the land claims, about the corporations. How have the corporations worked out, the Native corporations? Did that work out well, or did it work out badly? I'd like to know what you think about the way the corporations have worked out here, Doyon and your own village corporation. Whether you're from Fort Yukon or from one of the other villages, I know some folks are here from out of town today. And I'd also like you to tell me what you think the impact of ANCSA has been on in these last 13 years, and what your opinion is of ANCSA. There's a number of other things that come up, of course, and they are associated with the idea of 1991, when Congress decided that Alaska Natives were to get 44 million acres of land, they provided that the land would be held by native corporations so that native people have shares in corporations. And normally you got 100 shares in your regional corporation and 100 shares in your village corporation. So after 1991, you can sell those shares, and I'd like to know how you feel about that. Do you want to sell your shares in 1991? And if you do, I suppose you'll get some money for them, maybe a lot of money, I don't know. And you can buy a snow machine or put a new roof on your house or do something like that. But of course, if too many native people sell their shares, then and outsiders buy their shares, then they will lose control of their native corporations, and outsiders will own the corporations and will own the native land. So that's a real question, a pretty hard one for native people to think about. Then there's the question of the children born since 1971. They didn't receive shares. And what do you think about that? Do you think that there should be some arrangement made for the children born since 1971 to get shares in the corporations? Then there's the question of taxation. 20 years after your corporation gets its land, the land can be taxed by the state, even if it's used only for subsistence. And that's a question that will come up in the 1990s. It won't come up right away, but it'll come up in the 1990s. And maybe you should be thinking about that too. Now, at these meetings, at these meetings I've held throughout the state, about 1,000 native people have testified so far, and I hope some of you will testify. And if you will, perhaps you just come forward and take a chair right here. We'll get another one here if necessary, so that you can speak into the microphone. And there's a reason for that. We want to make sure that what you've got to say goes on tape. This is Jim Sykes, who travels with me, and he makes sure that everything goes down on tape, and then it's typed up and there's a transcript kept, a permanent record of what Alaska Natives have to say about their land claim settlement. And that means there's a record that will speak permanently for you. What did you think of all this? Well, what you had to say will be on tape and typed up, and that transcript is deposited with the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, and we send a copy to your local IRA council and village corporation as well. Now, I've been to every region in the state except for Bristol Bay, and I'm going to go there in January. And after that, I'm going to write a report about all this. And I will base my report on ANCSA on what you tell me. That's why I'm holding these meetings, so that my report will be based on what Alaska Natives have to say about the land claim settlement. And I'll be sending a copy of my report to everybody who testifies. And my report will be made public in the summer of 1985. And I hope it will be helpful to Alaska Natives in deciding what changes they are going to ask Congress to make in the legislation. And I'm also going to be making recommendations in my report for Native people in other countries, so they can learn from what happened here in Alaska. They can learn to benefit from the good things that happened in your land claim settlement, and they can learn also to avoid some of the bad things that may have happened in your land claim settlement. I think most of you know that I'm from Canada. I spent 3 years in the Canadian Arctic reviewing the whole question of pipelines and and land claims and subsistence. That was back in the 1970s, and I wrote a report for the Government of Canada about land claims. And I also had to, I had a recommendation to make to the Government of Canada that they take measures to protect the porcupine caribou herd. And I also urged the Government of the United States to protect the porcupine caribou herd. And I'm glad that the people here, the native people here, and the native people in Canada, in the Yukon, have gotten together to establish the Porcupine Caribou Commission to protect that caribou herd. Well, my job is to listen to what you've got to say. I think that I should tell you that wherever I go, people talk about ANCSA and about corporations, about children and shares. But there's two other things they talk about. One is subsistence. And if you want to talk about subsistence, that's fine with me. ANCSA extinguished Aboriginal rights to take fish and game in Alaska. And so ever since, your subsistence has been dependent on state law and federal law and international treaties. And the other thing that people want to talk about is sovereignty. And if you want to talk about that, that's fine with me. Some of the people in other villages have said, maybe we should transfer our land from the corporations to the IRAs in order to make sure that we won't lose it after 1991. That's an idea that people have talked about, but there are other ideas too that you might want to think about. Some people have suggested that their land might be transferred to cooperatives or to nonprofit corporations or in trust to make sure that people keep their land after 1991. Well, I think I should also say that the other people who came with me are Mary Kentswick, who helped Marilyn to organize the meeting, and Bill Hess came with me. He's sitting in the front row. He's a reporter from the Tundra Times. And I think that's all I've got to say, and we'll be here all afternoon, and after the potluck supper, we'll be here as long as you want us to stay tonight so that everybody will get a chance to speak and to talk about ANCSA, how it's worked out, and the future. Where do you want to go in the future? Do you want to sell your shares? Do you want to keep your land? Do you want restrictions placed on your shares? Do you want to transfer the land to the IRAs or to a cooperative or to a nonprofit corporation? I want to hear your ideas, and if you have some ideas that I haven't talked about, well, you feel free to bring them up, because I'm just starting it off here so you know who I am and why I'm here and some of the things that people like yourselves have been talking about in other villages in Alaska to which I've been. So, yes, sir. Would you like to come up here and speak? And
okay.
I forgot to mention.
Well, we're open for business, and if anyone would like to come up and sit here and talk about some of these things, we're...
A lot of people in here. My name is Paul Williams. They sent me up from Beaver to represent the Native Corporation down there, and I'm not really involved with their corporation. I'm more involved with the Vinitai IRA Council. But since I'm going up to Vinitai, they want me to say a few words on their behalf. Some of the problems that they encounter for their corporation is one of the big items that they talked to me about was nepotism. I guess you young high school kids know what nepotism is. It means people who are related, serving on governing board, and that seems to be a problem with the Beaver Corporation. I'm just expressing what words they told me to say. Another item of concern was the corporation is not really living up to what they expected when it was being passed. They wanted the corporation to be more involved with their social well-being, like housing and power and sewer and water and possibly health and education. Now, my views on the Settlement Act, and we could do it ourselves for the younger kids who are in high school and younger people, that we can direct our education by establishing programs that could benefit the younger people for future. The native people themselves, they talk about subsistence, they talk about sovereignty, they talk about living off the land. And these values that they put on their subsistence activity, it's very important for future people to carry on our language and to carry on our custom, to continue to be Indians and to use our language. So these waters and these lands got to be protected. Now how are we going to do that? We've got to make sure that nobody takes it away from us through taxation or through other misventure or mismanagement. I believe there's more people coming into Alaska on a daily basis, on a monthly basis. We got the fastest growing population in the 50 states. And these people will continue to come in. And like Judge Berger said in 1991, if people want to, I believe they can sell their shares. And this has to do with land too. Part of your share for the Gutchajir Corporation or Doyon Limited Company, their basis is land, and we have to protect these lands. Going back to the Beaver Gutchin Corporation, they told me to express their views in ways that they could be more involved. The corporation should be more involved for the better benefit of the people there in Beaver, and that we don't have an office there. So I guess I can close by saying that we should be working together so that we can save what little we got left in terms of lands and waters and to preserve our native people and our way of life. Don't be afraid to come up here and speak. You know, you're speaking for yourself. This, whatever you say will come up in Judge Berger's report, and it'll help other people to see views that they're having problems with. Other Land Claims Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
My name is Clarence Alexander. At present time, I serve as chief of Native Village of Fort Yukon and also a board member of GZ Corporation. There is my biggest concern is it has to do with a will that is like when a person, a shareholder dies, that their will is not honored. As far as a corporation is, the way it's being established, I guess, is that like, I'll take, for instance, my mother died last year. And when she left a will, it's not a will, it's her will that she left with us is what she told us verbally. But it was not carried out to that the way that she asked us to carry it out, because the way the corporation is, the way, I think the way that the state regulation regulates a corporation, it didn't allow us to do what she wanted us to do, because I didn't want it. My brothers didn't want it. My sisters didn't want it. But she wanted my her grandchildren to have it, because at the time she had something like 300 shares, and you know, it's something like that is what we're talking about right here. If you are dissatisfied with any kind of with the corporate structure, then you are allowed to talk about that. My other thing is that has to do with land, and I've been preaching about land upside down, forward, and any other way that I can think of for the last 3-4 years, and it seems like there I have not made any headway as far as dealing with land, because when you have two organizations, one being a nonprofit organization and one being a profit organization, and neither party seemed to appreciate the other organization, even though we are one and the same. We deal with issues that are, one deals with business and the other one deals with social issues. But at the same time, we are always bugging heads. We can never get together. We are not united. Unity is being talked about in the state of Alaska, and it's being talked about in the villages, but it's not happening. It's in the state of mind, but that in itself is not happening. I noticed on a TV that in Anchorage, I was watching TV and I saw people holding hands, saying that this is a way to unite. Well, that sure as hell ain't the way to do it. There are other better ways of doing it. And that's by working together. You cannot hold hands and hope to hell that you are united. There are other issues that are facing me that deals with a corporation, and there's that's the kids that are, the corporation have different goals. I think there's about 4 or 5 goals that they have written down, and number one is employment for shareholders, and there's education, there's they're going after youth, but they're not hitting the, they're talking about youth, but the youth that we're talking about right now are either in 7th grade or in 8th grade, if I'm right. And those are the ones that are, we should be actually trying to teach to at least enhance their ability to know about the corporations, but we don't. There are other things that the kids that are born since 1971 that are saying, hey, why aren't we recognized? What's happening? And then they're separating themselves from the shareholders, and they feel that, how come we're not being claimed as Native people? And that's exactly what it means as far as looking at it from that point of view. There's as far as a subsistence is concerned, under the subsistence, it's you have a long ways to go. You might feel that you see if there is a neon light in Fort Yukon, but there is, I don't know if there is or not. But subsistence is living off the land, and when you deal with a change, there's a change that's taking place, and that change is that the way that the white man understands it is that they go from agricultural to industrial. We came from a long way, but our problem is that we came straight from our cultural background, our heritage, the language, everything. We have to, in order to get into the arena, we have to learn the Western ways. And that being that the Native people have bypassed the agricultural type of the world, they came right straight into the industrial. And, you know, when you deal with this kind of transition, is a very hard world for the ones that are here today, because we have to really deal with it. And we don't have the technical knowledge. We don't have the technical, any sort of technical knowledge of the new world. And right now we're facing it each day. I myself in a position that I'm learning every day. I learned by the corporation. It took me at least 3 years as a board member. They gave me at least the opportunity to learn about the corporation, the responsibilities that I have. That's the only way I ever did find out what a corporation was. Before that, it was a blank. And going back to subsistence, excuse me for being scattered, mind. Going back to subsistence, there's also a 14C, 3, I think. Or anyway, it's under 14C. And we have been talking about this as a Native council, that we've been trying to establish some sort of a way to solve the problem by creating a place for the future generation to come. Because the way it is right now, if a corporation tomorrow go bankrupt, that means you have nothing. Exactly, nothing. Those of you that are from a different corporations, if your corporation are not earning a dollar for a dollar or dollar for whatever percentage on top of that, then you are slowly going downhill. There have to be certain ways of protecting your land. and the land is the most important issue there is today. There is nothing more important than land. The money is nothing compared to land. You have to realize that, and you have to protect it. You have to protect it to the utmost, any way you can. Even if you have to tell your younger ones to go to law schools, to corporate structure, the business administrations, or anything like that, there are ways. And I keep stressing on land, because the land is where your identity is with the land. You have to realize that. If you do not have land, if you ever had any experience of lower 48, then you will know that you do not just step on land down there, in anybody's land. Maybe in the future, if you do not listen to what's being said, the only land you might own is the lot you're living on. And with there are laws that are being placed in the state of Alaska right now, they call it borough. There are boroughs being established around the state. If a borough is ever established, then the borough itself will start taxing you for your private properties. And in the newspaper, if you look at it yearly, you'll notice that that the lands belonging to individual people in Fairbanks or Anchorage are being auctioned off because they do not pay their tax. And this can happen to you. And this is one of the reasons that I always push on the idea that do anything you can to protect your land. That is the most important issue there is today. And there's one of the things that's the hardest thing to deal with is that the kids that are being born, they call them, now they got all kinds of names for them. They call them after birth, after born. They got, you know, just names of all sorts. And I believe that there was, I got a kind of a, through a grapevine that in Arctic, around the North Slope country, they established some sort of a corporation for young people. I don't know how they did it, but I understand that it's going well. And I've mentioned it on a several occasion to the board of directors on the Chattahoochee Corporation, but it seemed to just slip through. But that is a form. I feel that is one form of establishing some sort of a shareholder concept for the ones that are born after 1971. But I think the reason that a lot of people at the present time don't like to do this is because that they feel that their present shares will be reduced down to whatever. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something that we can look at. Before I came here, I feel that I had about an hour of hour of something on my mind to whatever it was going to take me an hour to explain, but right now it slipped, so I'll turn it over to somebody else.
Well, thank you, Mr. Alexander. Thank you, Chief.
The land claim settlement connected to the land claim settlement. I haven't really been keeping up with the land settlements. I haven't given it much thoughts. I know that at first it had created a lot of excitement. Everybody was excited with the settlement. And people had taken a lot of advantage of it. They have gotten a lot of lands. I know people have gotten a lot of allotments, native allotments, and people are getting a lot of lands under the 14C. And now we're getting into the era of a lot of anxiety as to what's going to happen with the land, the shares, and the settlement itself. It comes 1991. I know myself, I'm getting to in the age where I might consider selling my shares to get what I can get out of it before I leave the country. There'd be a lot of young people who might want to sell their shares and get some money out of it. When I was down going to schools in the lower 48, one time I went to school in Arizona near Hopi Reservation. These people were taking advantage of the housing program, where they were given new houses, and they were given a chance to pay for it in a certain amount of time, paying so much a month. A lot of them had taken advantage of this opportunity, but later found out that they couldn't keep up the payment and start selling. Either the houses are taken away from them or they start selling to some other people, mostly the white folks. Wasn't too long and the reservation was beginning to be a white man reservation. A lot of people, a lot of white folks were moving in before the chiefs start, the tribal chiefs start doing something about it and put a stop to this negotiation between the housing and the Hopi Indians. And in going to school in the state of Minnesota, I heard about one reservation where a lot of white folks were marrying native girls. And there were quite a few white folks within that reservation, and they tried to get the place incorporated and give it a status of city and things. And the natives became aware that they're doing this because they wanna take control of it. All they have to do is run for a council, city council, and they can take control. And the tribal chief there did something about it where people were discouraged from doing it. Something of this sort will happen for sure here in Alaska. People are really out to get some land